All right, good morning. Today's daf is daf nun dalet, continuation of yesterday's daf. Today's daf and yesterday's daf are really linked together. We talked yesterday about the yesod, and today we continue our discussion of the yesod. We're in the very bottom of the amud. Now, we've seen already a number of times today, yesterday, as we were going to continue today, the yesod is an interesting complex, meaning that the yesod is the foundation of the mizbeach, and it doesn't make a perfect square. It doesn't seem to make a perfect square. Yeah. What the yesod does is that it runs along the north wall, it runs along the western wall, but it fails to run along the southern wall, and it fails to run along the eastern wall. And yesterday, one of the things that resulted from this is halacha, meaning that when I sprinkle the blood of the Dam Ola, I have to sprinkle in a place where there's yesod, and I do not sprinkle in a place where there's no yesod. So the blood of the Ola is not sprinkled on the southeast because there's no yesod over there. Which really begs the question, why isn't there a yesod? Right? That doesn't make any sense. In other words, if the whole obligation of where I sprinkle the blood is based on where there's a yesod, and just simply put a yesod around the south and around the east and it'd be fine, so then I would be able to sprinkle the blood on the southeast. So why is there no yesod over there? So the Gemara is going to give us a historical reason, and that's where we left off yesterday, and that's where we're going to pick it up today. So my time. So that's exactly where we are in the Gemara. We're in Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are six lines from the bottom of the page. And we continue. My time. So what is the reason why there's no yesod around the south and around the east? So Amar Rav Elazar fi shalahi sa b'chelko shel Toreif. It wasn't in the portion of the Toreif. Toreif over here is an allusion, a reference to Binyamin. What we're about to learn right now is the following. There was a dividing line between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin, I am somewhat unprepared today because really I should have brought one of those topographical maps of Israel and showed the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin. Okay, fine. I don't have one today. When I was younger, they used to issue the standard Atlas Karta, right, which actually goes through and tells you how Israel is to be divided. But on this alone, so the Yehuda and Binyamin were basically the south part of Israel. Right? When we talk about Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim was actually subdivided between Yehuda and Binyamin, the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. Right? When the 10 northern tribes were dislocated, or were taken away, so that left only the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin basically occupied the south. Right? And everything north of that was the other 10 Shvatim. Actually, as we're about to learn right now, the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, their borderline that separated the two of them went right through the Beit HaMikdash. Went right through, not the Beit HaMikdash, but went right through Yerushalayim and basically cut this picture in half. So in other words, over here on your right, on your left side, right over here on your left side, so this is all Binyamin. Over here on your right side, this is all going to be Yehuda, and the line went down basically over here. For those of you at home, here means nothing. But that's fine. But it went down over here. And what it did is it cut the right side of the Mizbeach. Then what it did is it took a right-hand turn and then continued to go down. So in other words, what you're going to have now is an area where in the Azara itself, part of the Azara is going to be Shevet Yehuda, part of the is going to be Binyamin. Let me just make sure, just so you can see it a little bit better and you could visualize. This portion over here is going to be all Yehuda. This entire portion over here, from here to your left, is going to be Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin gets all this. Binyamin gets the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron, the entire edifice of the Beit HaMikdash. They get most of the Mizbeach. They don't get that strip over here. They don't get that strip over here. Yehuda, he doesn't get a whole lot. But he does get something very significant. Yehuda's line drops down over here. He gets this area over here. See the purple? That's the Lishkas HaGazis. That's where the Sanhedrin would get together. So Yehuda got this area of the Azara. This is the area of the Sanhedrin. And that would be it. Okay? That line, right, that actual borderline between Yehuda and Binyamin, which ran right down over here and basically cut off this part of the Mizbeach, the eastern part of the Mizbeach and the southern part of the Mizbeach, So right now I'm going to say it like this, although in the Gemara later on, it's not going to be this black and white. They just simply didn't have a yesod. Mm-hmm. They had no yesod over here, and they had no yesod over here. Okay? Why? So the simple answer is going to be because everything really belongs in Binyamin. Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaMikdash accoutrements belong in Shevet Binyamin. The Pesukim I'll show you in just a moment. And meanwhile, in terms of Shevet Yehuda, they don't get any of the Beis HaMikdash. So because the line of Yehuda runs down over here and cuts right into the Mizbeach, therefore there's no Yisod. Because that's part of Yehuda's Shevet.
Then why does the Yisod go just a little bit?
Huh?
Why does the Yisod go just a little bit there?
Right, there is that, right. There is that, the line, their borderline, if you will, Yehuda's borderline, cuts in right after the Yisod. Meaning that it goes over here, it makes a little turn over here, cuts in over here, goes out here, and cuts down.
But makes an extra turn so as not to give him any of the Yisod.
Right, so you're not going to have, except for that little portion that juts out on the north, you're not going to have any Yisod. Okay. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, so let's see this all inside. Everything that I just said is basically going to be spelled out in the Gemara. The only thing that I said very equivocally, which, very unequivocally I should say, which is equivocal, meaning will be subject to a debate, is this question of, is there a Yisod on the south and is there a Yisod on the east? So the picture I keep putting up here and showing you does not show you any Yisod on the south and on the east. That later on will be debated and disputed. Okay, but for now, however, let's just leave it like this. This seems to be the more popular picture. Amar Belevi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Ritzu Haitha Yotza, Mechelko Shel Yehuda. Did I skip? No, the Amar of Shema. Okay, let me go back. My time. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lefisho Haitha, Mechelko Shel Torif, it wasn't in the Chelik of Torif. Binyamin was called Torif. Right? Right, so it's based on the bracha that Yaakov gave to Binyamin.
Binyamin
Ze'ev Yitrov. So he's a wolf. He's a wolf that tears. The word Litrov, Toref, means to tear. Right? We say Trefa, right? Trefa means, in our minds, Trefa means not kosher, but that's not what Trefa means. Trefa means that the animal was torn. Right? It was attacked by another animal and one of its insides was punctured and okay, that's what the word treifa actually means. So Bechelko Shel Toref, that means the chelik of Binyamin. The Mizbech actually eats into the chelik of Yehuda by one Amma. So Amra Belevi Bar Chama Amra Bichama Brabi Chanin Ritzu Aisa Yosem Mechelko Shehuda V'Nichnasa Bechelko Shel Binyamin. We have almost here like encroachment, right? Where the Gemara describes it as you have an amma territory of Yehuda that actually encroaches into the area of Binyamin. V'haya Binyamin atzadik mitztayer ala b'chol hayom. And Binyamin was mitztayer. He bothered him terribly. L'not lo, and he wanted it. Meaning, what he wanted was really a complete mizbeach filled with a complete yesod. He wanted that one amma of area where it was quote unquote encroached upon. Rashi explains the word chofef like we have by the word nazir, right? We say the nazir is chofef. Well, that we say actually the nazir. Yeah, the Mishnah tells us that the nazir is allowed to scratch his hair, even though in the act of scratching some of the hair might come out, but that's a davashena miskaven. But anyway, the word chofef means to scratch, to rub. And you know how when you're irritated, when you're stressed, you start scratching, right? So chofef alav kol hayom, we're now going to offer a pshat in the pasuk that Binyamin, it irritated him. This one amma of territory that Yehuda encroached into quote-unquote his domain, that bothered him. As a result of that, he became the host of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, Binyamin basically got everything. Meaning, he got the Mizbeach, the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron. All right, and the list goes on and on. Everything westbound of the Mizbeach, that all goes to Binyamin, nothing goes to Yehuda. I'm not fully understanding all this Gemara. I don't want to pretend like I get it all. Meaning, without Binyamin worrying about it, there was an idea that Yehuda would have gotten some of it. Right? Unclear. But still, the point is that Binyamin really wanted to be the resting place of the Shekhinah, and he got it. And he got the resting place of the Shekhinah, but Yehuda, for reasons which, again, I don't fully understand, but the Gemara tells us, Yehuda's territory went into the Azara and actually cut off some of the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara is going to challenge. So here now, the Gemara is going to be bothered by the following. We talk about the shechting of the Ola Sa'ov. The Ola Sa'ov is the bird, where the bird's going to go up onto the Mizbeach. What the Kohen does is, again, he takes his fingernail, his elongated thumbnail, inserts it into the back of the neck of the bird. This is what's called Malika, and he mamish goes all the way through. And it's almost as if there's a separation of head and body. Pretty much there is. So Ola Sof Ketzad, Haithanasit, Hayamolikis, Rosha, Mimulor Pa. So he'd start from the back of the neck, Umavdil, and he would separate, like I described, like mamish go all the way through, make a separation of head and body. And he would squeeze the blood onto the side of the Mizbeach. Okay, we discussed Mitzui just a short couple of days ago. Now,
it starts from the back of the neck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Malika starts in the back of the neck. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us this. Rashi tells us this very important information. Otherwise, we don't understand the flow of the Gemara. All this took place in the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. The Malikas Ha'of. The Malikas of the Ola Sa'of is done in the southeast corner. That will become clear later on. And so therefore, the squeezing of the blood is done in the southeast corner. And so the Gemara is asking now really a simple question. So it's not hitting the Yisod. Period. It's not hitting the Yisod. There is no Yisod over there. So how does that happen? Via Marlo Ayala Yisod, the Avir Ba'amahu, the Kavid. So if there's no Yisod over there, so it's in the air, right? It's not, that blood is going to be running down the wall of the Mizbeach and it's not hitting a Yisod. So how does that work? It's a simple question. So Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak Emar Kachisnu Avir de Minyamin Karka de Yehuda. I'm sorry, Kachisnu Avir de Minyamin Karka de Yehuda. So the Gemara offers the following answer. Interesting answer. Interesting. Right? So right, air rights. Right, so what we're going to do is that even in this encroachment that Yehuda has in Binyamin, in which Yehuda's property actually is running down now, the eastern side of the Mizbeach, that's only the land. That's only the ground. So you're standing in Yehuda's property. But airspace of this area over here, presumably only that one Amma, eastbound of the Mizbeach, airspace actually belongs to Binyamin. Okay, now there's an interesting Rashi over here. I'll just quickly show it to you. It's really interesting. This Tosfos over here, the long one on the left side, is all one long response to the Rashi's comment. Rashi writes, "The Avir ba'Amah Ka'avid Emar Kach." That Rashi. Emar Kach. The Ikalam Emar Demalam Megimah Delav Karkahu Asu Kemin Blita Katana Keneged Osa Akarin. And Rashi just kind of writes, like, matter-of-factly, oh, and by the way, there would be a small protrusion in the southeast corner, so that part of the Mizbeach would be there to collect the blood that's running down as you're squeezing the blood along the southeast corner. Lekaba ba'adam ola sa'of, shalo yipol la'aretz, v'kir Mizbeach mikre, and it's called the Kir HaMizbeach, meaning it's a protrusion, but we're going to call it the wall. It's not Yesod, because Yesod is foundation, and foundation has to be part of the ground. That's the very definition of Yesod. So we're not going to call it Yesod, but it's a little blita. It's a little protrusion that comes off the southeast wall. Okay? You know why Rashi's saying that. Because Rashi's trying to visualize. Well, how is it, in other words, the blood is running down the wall, what's it hitting? Meaning, what part of the Mizbeach is it hitting? And Rashi, in Rashi's mind, a vertical contact with the wall is not enough. It's got to hit base. So therefore, Rashi constructs, both in his mind and on the Mizbeach, Rashi constructs some sort of protrusion, some sort of belita that comes out of the southeast corner. Right? And then what Rashi has to do is say, oh, but that's not Yesod, because Yesod is all the way on the ground. This protrusion is made somewhere in the middle of the Mizbeach in the southeast corner, somewhere up above. Okay, fine. And Tosfos over here is an entire response for that Rashi, meaning, what are you doing over here? You're adding something to the Mizbeach? When but I understand, you're right. And that's ultimately what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, where does Rashi get that from? But what motivates Rashi, in other words, I understand what's driving him, is this idea that I can't just simply have the blood running down, it's got to hit something. Okay.
The blood is down the upper part of the Mizbeach where they can walk. So there was an indentation. That means that the whole thing was in Binyamin.
Yeah, so
it was in Binyamin anyways. You
know, the Sovev was in Binyamin's area.
Right. Why Binyamin is complaining?
Because the Yesod wasn't. No, meaning he lost Yesod.
Where they applied the blood and everything else is in there.
Rashi above does deal with your question. I did skip a Rashi above. Where Rashi does ask a question, meaning if the blood is done up above,
right.
So it will hit this selvev, it will hit, there's a perimeter that goes around where you can walk.
Right.
So, and Rashi, in response to that, says, it's true, but the imtomar, I'll show it to you inside. Right, Rashi is up above. I skip this Rashi. V'im tama nofal al soviv sharei l'malahi nasif ha'katani hasam asalamata meraglava filo ama achas kshera delo kapit ela alamala minachot. So Rashi says that you're right. Generally speaking, it was done up above, but it could be done below the soviv. It's possible that it could be done below the soviv. It just has to be below the red line. The red line was actually below the soviv. Okay.
It would be below the
soviv,
no?
Huh?
The red line was above.
As I'll explain later on, the red line was actually below the sovev. I'll explain that better later on. Okay? So that, good. So that takes us through question-answer. Question, how can we squeeze the blood of the Olas Ha'ov on the southeast? So answer is, airspace belongs to Binyamin. And then a difficult Rashi, where Rashi says that there's some sort of protrusion that they built over there so that the blood would actually hit something, which was three tefachim above ground. And it's not really called Yesod. Okay, and again, this entire Tosfos, which we're not going to do right now, is a response basically to that comment of Rashi.
Question, if we go back a second to the subdivision.
Yeah.
The original division was Hashem and King Solomon built according to those specifications. Was it so detailed that the specifications would have such... a narrow division?
Yeah, the answer seems to be absolutely. I mean,
because they didn't have at the time the tools to do this kind of
survey. Right. Understood. I mean, but other than the information that I have presented over here from the Gemara, I don't know more than that. So I'm just going to work backwards. So I'm going to assume yes that they knew with this type of precision. Fine. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. I'm sorry, I read all that. Karka de Yehuda. So my lo havi lo yisod. Okay, now the Gemara is going to take us to another very basic question. Very basic. We have now been saying so far that the border of Yehuda, actually there's a slight encroachment, and it encroaches into the area of the Mizbeach, so that now you lost your eastern yisod, and you lost your southern yisod of the Mizbeach. And now the Gemara is going to basically say that itself is subject to a debate. Now let's be clear. What isn't subject to a debate is the borderline. Meaning that border of Yehuda and Binyamin and it running right along the eastern and southern walls of the Mizbeach, that's not up for debate. Okay, that's not going to be on the table for discussion. What is on the table for discussion is that they actually build a physical yisod running along the east and running along the south. Now, as I hold up this picture, your answer is going to be, well, no, because I don't see it here. Good. So this picture over here is drawn according to the one who says that there is no yisod along the east and along the south. There will be one Amora in the Gemara that's going to maintain that there was a physical yisod, but it didn't have status. It didn't have any type of legal designation. It didn't halachically serve as a yisod, but it was there. It was built there. It's kind of better because then you're looking at a more symmetrical Mizbeach. What we're looking at right now is, a little bit of a mess, meaning it's not a symmetrical box. The opinion that says that it was built, now you have a foundation to the Mizbeach that is square, 32 by 32. Okay.
Rabbi, I'm sorry if you can cover this up. Is that with the protrusions on the northwest corner and the southwest and the northeast corner? those two protrusions, those are in Yehuda?
No, those are Binyamin. The borderline we're going to have is running down here and cut right in.
Even that little protrusion,
right,
it goes around?
Right. All right. I mean, that's the assumptions going into this. So emakachisnu avir de mesari. So my lohav la yisod. So what does it mean? Didn't have yisod. So Rav Amar bevinyan. So Levi Amar bedamim. So Rav says bevinyan. So this picture over here is Rav's picture. Okay. So what we're looking at is Rav, where there actually was no foundation on the east and on the south. Levi disagrees. Levi says no bedamim, meaning there was no yisod from a blood standpoint. Meaning it was physically there, but it wasn't there to accept blood. It can't accept blood. It didn't have the kedushas hamizbeach, the kedushas of yisod, so that it could accept blood. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara is going to take such an interesting turn over here. You know what this machlokas between Rav and Levi is? It's a machlokas in Targum. Okay, we know that every time that when the chumash was given to us, so there is a simple pshat in the chumash. Right, a pasha pshat in the chumash, put down in pen by unklus agir, and it's what we have is a running targum. It used to be back in the good old days when they would read chumash in shul, they would read targum as well. One pasuk of chumash followed then by one pasuk of targum. Okay, the fact that none of us speak Aramaic in this room, right, myself included, by the way, you open up a Sefer Daniel, right? Try making your way through Sefer Daniel, and you realize I don't know Aramaic. I know enough to get me through the Gemara, okay, good, but you know, if you really speak the language, then you have no problem reading through Sefer Daniel. So, and what Rav and Levi are arguing about is, what's actual Targum on the Chumash? Right? Ba'aschante yasfana mitbacha. So Rav says, Targum reads like this, meaning, I think, sounds like from the Gemara, they're actually arguing as to what Nusach HaTargum is. What's the correct text of the Targum? So Rav says, "Bas chante yasvei mitbacha." In his inheritance, in his nachala, yasvei mitbacha, mitbacha and mizbeach. Remember, I told you, Dal and Zion are always interchangeable between Hebrew and Aramaic, right? So the mizbeach is in his property. So if it's in Binyamin's property, there's mizbeach. If it's not Binyamin's property, there simply is no mizbeach. That's Rav. Okay, Levi mitargum bas chante yasva mikdasha. And according to Levi, no, Targum reads like this, that in his property, Binyamin, Yasvane Mikdasha. It's not the Mizbeach, the physical structure, but sanctity, holiness is in Binyamin. So that means that, no, the Mizbeach is a regular square, 32 by 32 amas. Whatever part of the Mizbeach is in Binyamin, that has Kedusha. Whatever part is not in Binyamin, does not have Kedusha. Makam Mekudesh L'damim Tashma.
This is a targum on the pasuk of Dei Sefer
Shachin. Is, I think. Unsure. Mekudesh L'damim Tashma. Hayisonei Hamahalach Al Kol Panei Tzafon Val Kol Panei Amarav Ocha Bedarim Ama VaAchas UveMizrach. Achas Amma. So here's what we're going to do now for pretty much most of the rest of this morning. We're going to quote Mishnayos. We know this picture that I'm holding up over here, we know pretty much because the Mishnayos and Midos tells us this. We have a Masechet in Shas, it's called Midos. We're actually going to go through it later on in Taharos. Midos is interesting because Midos doesn't have any Gemara. And for reasons which, again, I don't always understand why certain Masechtas made it into Daf Yomi, certain ones didn't, Midos made it into Daf Yomi. So despite the fact that it's only Mishnayos, but we're going to be learning it later on. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So one of the, and Midos basically gives us an architectural design of the second temple. So we know pretty much, almost, you know, to the inch, or, you know, to speak in Mishnah term, to the Amma, to the Tefach, we know pretty much how the layout is of the second base of Mikdash, because Midos describes it. And so now what the Gemara is going to do for pretty much the rest of today, quote Mishnayos and Midos, and just try to see who is right. Rav is right or Levi's right? Was it the base a perfect square or not? So here we go. So I quote a Mishnah Midos, the Gemara quotes it. Hayisod ha'yamahalecha p'nei kol tzofon v'al kol p'nei amarav ochel bedarum ama achas uve mizrach ama achas. And the Mishnah Midos describes it eats into the Mizbeach. One Amma on the east, one Amma on the south. Okay, that sounds like Rav. It sounds a lot like Rav. So my Ochel Nami Bedamim. So Levi in his defense will say like this. Yeah, Ochel means not physically, halachically. Meaning that on the east and the south side there is a Yesod, but it's not able to collect blood because it doesn't have status of Yesod. That's how Levi will explain. It certainly is it's a dochik in the Mishnah Midos because the Mishnah Midos is giving us physical structure. Okay, but still, you know, Levi has a position, the Gemara feels it's a tenable position, therefore the Gemara is going to defend. Tashma. Hamizbeach hayah 32 al 32. So, the Mizbeach was 32 by 32. 32 by 32 is the base. It is length and width of the base. Now, in other words, from a top-down picture, which we're looking at over here, so the Mishnah in Midos describes it as 32 by 32. This actually is now going to be a question on Rav. Because the Mishnah Midos actually tells us that it was 32 by 32, and it sounds like it's describing a perfect square of 32 by 32. Levi's excited about that Mishnah Midos. Rav is going to have issue with that. So the Gemara says, okay, when we say 32 by 32, what we're doing is we're measuring the north wall, we're measuring the west wall, that's 32 by 32, right? But not the entire base of the Mizbeach. Tashma. Nimsa porech ama al yisod v'ama al sovev. Okay, next Mishnah over here describes the following. We know that there's a ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. It's a nice sizable ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach. That ramp is 32 amas in length. Now, just to be clear, when we say 32 amas, we're not talking about the hypotenuse. 32 amas is this area over here, right? The actual base of the ramp. And then it goes and it hits the Mizbeach. And basically what the Mishnah Midos is bothered by is the following. We know the base of the Mizbeach is 32 amas. We know the ramp is 32 amas in length. So, it should come out then that the total length from the southern tip of the ramp to the northern end of the Mizbeach is going to be 64. However, we also know the Mishnah Midos tells us it's not 64, it's 62. So we have two amas that are unaccounted for. Meaning, how do you get a ramp of 32 and a Mizbeach of 32? By the way, this is the Yesod, and this is our Sovev. Okay, so what happened over here? How do we account for 62 when it's meanwhile 32 plus 32? And the answer is that this over here, what the Mishnah is describing is that really there's the Yesod going up, there's the Sovev, right, that perimeter, okay, going up, and so really it's 32, but over here on this part of the ramp, there's an indentation.
It overlaps.
There's overlap. Two amas of overlap. One amma, two amma. Two amas of overlap. So, good. Now we have the Mishnah and Midos all figured out.
How can this be 32 and this be 32?
No. This is 32.
What about the ramp itself?
The ramp itself?
Yeah.
So then Pythagorean theory.
So that cannot be 32.
Height is 10 or 9? It goes up to the chronos?
Oh. No, you said the ramp itself.
I want to say nine.
Nine squared plus 32.
Okay, 9 squared plus 32 squared is going to equal
C squared.
Okay. I thought you said the ramp itself is 32. I said it's impossible.
Once upon a time I talked about it. Okay, fine. So that's it. So that's not so good. So now we have the Mishnah Midos. And now that we know all that, so now you
have 32 up to the base to the Yesod.
No. We're not 32 over here is just the length from here to here.
To the Yesod.
No, now you say
32 is really if I'm going to draw an imaginary line from where it ends over here.
Oh, okay.
32 goes from here to here.
I see.
Okay, after 32. So, but what the Mishnah Midos was struggling with is it didn't realize this overlap and it's trying to figure out. Wait a second, how does this work? 32 plus 32 equals 64. And the Mishnah Midos gives us a magic number of 62. So where does that number come from? The answer is overlap. That's all.
Could you figure out how much is how?
It's Pythagorean theorem. It's 32 squared plus 9 squared is going to equal C squared. Okay, fine. So good, so now...
So
now.
Why is it so big?
So vave.
I always assume the
this is one. We'll do these numbers later. Top. One, I did not draw the scale. I didn't do a good job. This is five. This is going to be three. And then we have Kronos.
But where is the red line?
So the red line went halfway up. So the red line is going to be right about here. That's what we were saying earlier. And if we just want to be a little bit yuckish. Okay. Fine. 1, 5, 3, and then this is 1 in height.
So I say the blood below the red line, that they would not go on the ramp.
They didn't have to go on the perimeter over here.
No, all those guys are from the dead. They don't go there. This is the top. All those Kashonis ramps, the ones that are Lamata, they're not done from the ramp.
Okay.
From the floor.
Okay? All right, good. Look, there's a lot to digest. You know, it's just a lot of information. But let's... All right, Tashma. So let's do this again. Tashma nimtza parech amal yesod ve'amal yesod. So how do I get to the magic number 62? Overlap. The ramp is actually going to go over the yesod and over the ama. So now think about it for just a moment. From Levi's perspective, perfect, because according to Levi, there was actually foundation along running along the southern side of the mizbeach. So from Levi's perspective, I understand the Mishnah Midos. This is actually now the second Mishnah, which bodes well for Levi. But according to Rav, there was no physical Yisod over there. So the Gemara says, Keneged Am Yisod Ve'al Am Sovev. So the Gemara says, yes. So according to Rav, what you'll have to say is that it overlapped not over physical Yisod, but where in theory the Yisod would be. Okay, fine. That's, again, it's, you know, it's not the best pshat in the Mishnah, but Rav and Levi need to defend their positions.
But there is
Yisod
at this.
There is Yisod over here, but doesn't actually.
It could be that the 32 is measured to the bottom of this.
Of this.
That this is the 32 is here, and they're still over.
Right, right. Essentially, that's what Rav is saying. Right. Okay. Tashma the ni Levi keitzad bonin es hamizbeach. Okay, and now we have a braisa that gives us step by step, all right, how to build the mizbeach. Okay, don't try this at home.
Yeah, I'm actually trying in the temple.
I know. we had a debate. No, not for now. Kate said, "Bonin is a mizbeach." Mivian malbein shu shloshim shtayim al shloshim shtayim. So good. You ever watch construction? Okay, my kid, every time there's construction on the block, my kids go out, they all watch, it's, you know, it's enjoyable, it's entertaining. So when there's construction, so basically what we do now is we want to make a foundation. So what do you do? So you have to pour cement. And how do you pour cement? So nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Nothing. So what you do is you make a wood frame, and now after having the wood frame, so then you pour the cement. That's essentially what the Mishnah over here is going to be describing. So what we're going to have now is a wood frame that's 32 by 32. The frame itself is going to allow the actual cement going to be 32 by 32. So shloshim shtayim shloshim shtayim v'gova ama umevi chaluku avanim mifulamos ben gedolos ben katanos umevi sid v'kunya v'zefes umemacha. So all these ingredients, I don't know what all these ingredients are, but again, these are all rocks and things that make cement, okay? Without giving you great definitions. V'shofech, and you pour. So good, so you pour the first layer. So the first layer, in other words, now we're talking about the base. So the base is 32 by 32 amas, one amma high, like you see over there, and that would be the base. Now, humakam yisod. V'chozer, maybe malbein. And do it again. Now you're going to bring another series of wooden frames on top of it. Here, a little bit smaller, 30 by 30. Shu shloshim amma, shloshim amma. V'gova chamesh amas. Here, this next block is going to be 5 amas high. Or maybe chaluk avanim v'chozer, maybe ma'ben shu chavches amma. Now we're up to the next level, which is going to be another frame, wooden frame, 28 by 28. There you're going to pour again 3 amas high, and that's going to give you your area of the sovev. The gova gemamas maybe chaluko. V'humakom amma aracha v'chozer maybe malvein shu amma amma. Then the horns, this is going to be a little bit tricky, the horns, because the horns don't go in, they don't recess in. They are on the top, they're on the four corners. So fine, but again, if you're in construction, this is, you know, you could do this. I'm not in construction. Shu amal amo maybe chaluko avani mefulamos ben gedolos ben katanos umevi zefes v'kunya umamache v'shofech v'zehu karen v'chein lechol karen v'karen, and you do that for every one of the four corners. Good. What comes out now is that in this simple description, simple and beautiful description, of building block upon block in order to build the Mizbeach, you have basically a structure that Levi envisions, which is a square on a square on a square. Good, that's exactly what Levi is looking at. But if you're Rav, and you believe that there really is no physical foundation on the south and on the east, how do you understand this Bryce over here? V'chi tema. And what do you want to tell me? That after the pouring of the concrete, the guy is lay, and you want to tell me now, okay, now we're going to cut away. You can't do that. Avanim shlemos. The pasuk says avanim shlemos, and so therefore these little pebbles and these little stones that were put together to form the mizbeach, once poured, have to be left intact. So I don't have that option of cutting after I pour the cement. So shlemos ksiv the machis midi mitusei v'shakolei. So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you how you do it. And again, if you're in construction, you can easily see this. And I'm not. But you can still, even I can easily see it. So if I could see it. And that is, when we're talking about building the frame, the wooden frame, in order to pour, so on the south, on the east, we're going to put in a couple more wooden planks. Simple. So that when we pour, there will be a natural indentation created on the south and on the east. And then, after the pouring, they're just going to remove them. And that's how I'm going to have it look like the way it looks on the picture over here, without having to cut away after I poured. Okay, good. That's how you do it. And the Gemara says, and look, you're going to have to make this argument. Because we know that the kronos were chalulim. They were actually hollow. Now, how do you pour and make something hollow? The pasuk in Zechariah describes them as being hollow. The purpose of which I'm unsure, but doesn't matter, right? No, yeah, but it doesn't absorb it. Okay. For whatever reason, right? That's not the okay. To be explored, but for whatever reason, it was hollow. And hachanami avanim shlemos. And what are you going to do? You can't pour and chisel away. We said that's just not acceptable. So the Gemara says, so that's it. So what you do over here is same thing that we described when pouring for the base. That you put something in there, and then you pour, and then you take it out. And that's how you create your hollow horns.
How do you take it out if you cover the hollow horn?
No. In other words, we're just talking about the pouring of the cement. Right? We're just talking about the actual pouring of the cement. You want to put a plaster over the top of it? That's later. But right now, for the pouring of the cement, that's a v'shakolei. Hachanami demachas midi midusei v'shakolei. Fine. Okay. And that's it. And so, therefore, what we have seen this morning, I mean, I know there's more Gemara, and we'll quickly run through it, but really, we've hit the main points of this morning. That there's a machlokas between Rav and Levi in terms of the actual structure of the foundation. Is the foundation a perfect square? Is it not a perfect square? We are all in agreement that the Yehuda line runs down the eastern and southern side. We're all in agreement that anything in Yehuda territory cannot be Mizbeach. And it's just a question now, was there actual physical Yesod? Levi says no. Rav says no. Levi says yes. And then Mishnayos and Midos, which point in both directions as to whether there was or there wasn't an actual physical Yesod or Lord running along the south and the west. Okay. Let's finish up. The Gemara of Maidichsev, the Pasuk says, Vayelech Dav Nishmol Vayeshvu Binivayos Beramah. So Dav Nishmol going, and the Gemara now is going to be describing basically Dav and Shmuel being like surveyors, explorers, right? V'chima inyan nevayos etzol ramah. Nevayos, ramah, what do they have to do with one another? Elisha yoshim b'ramah, v'ostim b'nuye shol olam. They are trying to figure out where to put this Beis HaMikdash. Right? Shmuel and David are getting together, and they're planning, and they're designing. Really? And they're looking for the right place to build the Beis HaMikdash. Amrik, Siva, Kamta, Ali, Salamakam. Look, here are the clues that the Torah gives us. You know the Torah never mentions Yerushalayim, right? You know that. Torah never mentions Yerushalayim. So, right, it only describes that there's going to be a place. The Kamta, Ali, right? Parshas Shoftim. You're going to get up and you're going to go, but never mentions actual Yerushalayim. So here, the Gemara is telling us that Dovid and Shmuel are trying to survey the land topologically and try to figure out, topographically, and try to figure out where does it go? Where are we going to put it? So Malamit Shebeit HaMikdash Gavol Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So the only clue the Torah gives us, it's got to be a high point. Eretz Yisrael Gavol Mikol Eretz Yisrael Hayu Yadei Duchtei Hecha Aisu. I'm sorry, so Hecha. They didn't know where to go. So what do? Aisu Sefer Yehoshua. So they bring in Sefer Yehoshua, right? So no topographic map, right? No Google Earth. So they had basically Sefer Yehoshua provided for them the necessary layout of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So Kuluk's even, and it's so interesting, by the way, because it's great. They're making diyukim in the Pesukim and Yehoshua in order to identify which is the highest land. So the Pesukim in Yehoshua say, "Ksev Vayered Va'Allah Hagvul V'Torah Hagvul B'Sheva Binyamin V'Allah Ksev Vayered Lo Ksev." When giving out the layout of all the different territories in Eretz Yisrael, so when the Navi in Yehoshua describes, it says Vayarad and you go up over here. Vayarad, you go down. Va'Allah, and you go up over here. So it describes both Yerida and Aliyah. However, when getting to Sheva Binyamin, the Pasuk only describes Va'alaksiv, Va'yarad Loksiv. It doesn't mention Yerida. Amish Mamina Hachahu Mekamam. Good. So now, based on the Pesukim in Yehoshua, and the Diyukim they made in the Pesukim in Yehoshua, they figured Sheva Binyamin. Because it's Aliyah, no Yerida. Okay. Now, Savalim Ibn Be'ayin Eitam De'madlei. So now they go to an area of Ayin Eitam. Again, this is where I came slightly unprepared this morning. Right? You should bring out your Atlas Kartas and you figure out exactly where Ayin Eitam is. And it's a region of land that is proximate and seemingly contiguous to Yerushalayim itself. And it's the high point. It's the actual high point. Amre Nitzate Bei Kalil Kedichtiva Venktef Avshachain. And they said, we don't want the absolute high point because the Chumash describes Ubank Seifav Shachin, it's between the shoulders. And you know, your head is resting on your neck, slightly lower. Right? Your shoulders are up a little bit. So the Ibai Seima Gemiri. Or another reason why they didn't want to go to the absolute high point, the Sanhedrin Bechalko de Yehuda, Ushchina Bechalko de Binyamin. Also, we have another tradition, which is that the Sanhedrin is in Chelek Yehuda. Now you'll understand something I showed you earlier. That when we divided the Azara, so and you see that Yehuda is to the east, right? And the line that basically divides is a line running right down over here. Again, more accurately, it's here, cuts in here, goes here, cuts in here, right? But nevertheless, everything in this direction is Yehuda, everything in this direction is Binyamin, and this is the Lishkas HaGazus. This is where the Sanhedrin sat. This is in the area of Yehuda. We have a tradition that Yehuda gets Sanhedrin. Binyamin gets Shechina. Now with that tradition, so now we understand that the Lishkas HaGazus is going to go over here. So the Gemara says, so we're not going to put it in this adjacent area, but rather we're going to place it in an area right next to this Ein Eitam, which we call Yerushalayim. The Binyamin v'imali. I'm sorry. Abay Porta kedichsiv v'vengtef hashachem v'adavet zenis kane doeg ha'adami b'David. And there was jealousy, meaning David put all the clues together: the pasuk in Chumash va'alita al makom, the pesukim in Yehoshua that describe that Ben Sheva Binyamin is Aliyah but no Yerida, right? The exact placement within Sheva Binyamin. All those clues were put together by David, and Doeg was jealous. So Niskani Domi Bedavi Kidiksiv, the Pasuk says, Kikanisa Besecha Chatanu Ksiv Zechor Shom Davis Kol Anvaso Hashem Ishbal Hashem Imavoba O Beisim Aten Shnasla Shenas Leinai Lafafai Tanuma Ad Emsa Mekom Hashem Hine Shamuna BeEfrata Matzuna BeStei Yaar BeEfrata Ze Yehoshua DeKasim Ephraim Mitzuna BeStei Yaar Ze Binyamin Dichsiv Binyamin Ze VeYitaref. And the Gemara quotes Pesukim in Tehillim that describes that this jealousy that Doeg had on behalf of David, where David was the successful explorer successfully locating the exact placement of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, good. I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah.